Martinsville campus. I'm Chad Lampe, here with co-moderator Carolyn Self of the League of Women Voters. Thanks to everyone here for coming to the discussion today. It seems to me we have about 120 people here, along with the three Hopkinsville mayoral candidates whom we thank for participating. They are Independent Walter Shamble, Democrat Joey Pendleton, and Republican Carter Hendricks. Current Mayor Dan Kemp is not seeking re-election. Hopkinsville and Madisonville are the only cities in our region who elect and employ full-time mayors. Hopkinsville's population is about 33,000. The mayor is the CEO of the city, which employs around 250 people. Let me outline how we're going to conduct this forum and this discussion. The candidates will have two-minute opening statements, during which we'd appreciate hearing your personal background and what brings you to this race. You'll receive 90 seconds to answer questions with the option of a 30-second rebuttal. Carolyn and I also have the opportunity to ask you follow-ups that will also be timed at 30 seconds. WKMS Morning Edition host Todd Hatton is timekeeping for you today. You can see the clock there. And we've decided on the speaking order of this forum for opening statements. We will begin with Joey Pendleton.
Thank you, and I want to thank all of you for being out here today. Thank WKMS for this grand opportunity to hear the difference in the candidates. And so glad we're here in this beautiful building at Murray State University in Hopkinsville that I'm seeing in reality when I got it here that this is what we need it for. And I'm so proud of that and honored to have it here in this setting today. And on a little somber note, I would just like to say Carter and I both in the Kiwanis Club with George Powell that just passed away this morning. And we'd like for you keep their family in your prayers as we move. That I am Joey Pendleton. I was born and raised here in Christian County. I've been a lifelong resident, still got the same farm where I was born and raised. I've lived in the city limits of Hopkinsville for over 40 years. Only two residents, Holiday Park Drive and 905 Hurst Drive. And I'm proud to be here, and I'm proud of Hopkinsville. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I see I'm not proud of, and that's why I want to change it. That's why I'm running for mayor. I want to make sure we have a place here where my children, who are back here now, and my grandchildren will want to stay here. And that's why I'm running for mayor. It's the young people. And one of the things in my platform that I will do, and I can say this today that I can do it because the mayor has that prerogative, on appointments to boards and commissions, I will have a young person on every board and commission that it is in the city of Hopkinsville that I...
That's your time. Okay, next will be Shamble.
Good afternoon. My name is Walter Shamble, and I'm running for mayor of Hopkinsville. I'm running for mayor because democracy is not a spectator sport. And I'm concerned about what is going on in this community. I think this is the most important election to date. Whomever is elected, I think, must be held accountable from day one. And that person must create a covenant to provide for the needs of all of our citizens. If we make all the parts better, we make the entire city better. Now in this race, I'm David. Now, Senator Pendleton may have enough money to bring a wet mule, and Carter Hendricks may represent the people with the rest of the money. And there is me, David. But I'm armed with the truth and the desire to make a difference. And I have faith and hope that even in my predicament, that I cannot be stopped. I said, we have the power to make a difference, but I think everybody has to have, say, equal representation, and all facets of the community must be equally represented in order to move the community forward. Minorities must be represented. Whites must be represented. The poor, and the rich. However, we must not allow certain groups to superimpose leadership upon the minority representation and the representation for the poor. Those persons in charge cannot tolerate and support anything but excellence in all of these areas. And I say today, we have the power to make a difference. I thank you.
If I could ask, too, that you guys try to stay as close to the microphone as you can, so that everyone will be able to hear you. Okay, Carter Hendricks, you're the last to go for the opening statement.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank WKMS Radio and Murray State University Hopkinsville campus for hosting us. Certainly appreciate Carolyn Self of the League of Women Voters and Chad Lampe with Murray State for co-moderating. And I thank each and every one of you for being here. You know, your vote is that precious and that valued, and the fact that you took time out of your day, no matter what sticker or button that you put on yourself today, if you haven't put any yet, I'd encourage you to take a Hendricks for Mayor button or sticker. But I really admire the fact that you're here, because it shows that you care. And that means a lot to me as a candidate, because I think it's important, if we're going to lead a community, that we lead a community of people that care. You don't elect a mayor to be the savior of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. You elect a mayor to work with you to help improve this community so that we can help it grow, create jobs, and be a better place for all. And so thank you for being here. I'd also like to thank Joey and Walter, certainly, for being here. I value the chance to exchange ideas with each of you. And should one of you be the victor, and it's not me, I pray that you'll be successful, because we need our next mayor to be successful, no matter who it is sitting in front of you. I grew up in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, graduated from Christian County High School, Hopkinsville Community College, and ultimately from Western Kentucky University. Lived away a few years after I met my wife, Faye, who's sitting up here in the front row, who is a teacher. I've got two kids, 11 and 12 years old. So I agree this is about the future. My mom retired as a patient aide from Western State Hospital. My dad retired as a command sergeant major for the United States Army. My brother Toby here works at Cumberland Hall. We're a normal family, just like you guys. But our decision to run for mayor was not a normal decision. It required a lot of sacrifice. And so we sit here before you sacrificing our time and our energy, and yes, even our income, to help Hopkinsville grow and be a better place. And all I can ask out of you is, like never before, think about the person that sits before you when you cast your vote. Ask yourself if they have the energy necessary to be a full-time mayor. Do they have the enthusiasm to properly promote and sell Hopkinsville? And do they have the executive experience to lead? When you ask yourself those three questions, I'm confident you'll cast your vote for Carter Hendricks for mayor on November 4th. Thank you.
We'll now proceed to the questions for this debate. Just a reminder, there are 90 seconds for folks, for the candidates to respond. They will have a warning with the clock, and they will also, if they intend to make a rebuttal, they make eye contact with Carolyn or me so that they can offer a 30-second rebuttal. Also, thank you all for issuing your questions. We receive questions through social media and at the door, and we'll do our best to get to some of those questions that we may not have already covered in our preparation. Carolyn has the first question.
Thank you, and I just want to personally thank the three of you. It's wonderful to have intelligent men running for office for the mayor. Thank you all. During the last terms of mayors, we have had $500,000 given to an interagency who has targeted neighborhoods and developed neighborhood networks. Are you committed to continuing that program?
Joey Pendleton, you'll be the first to answer.
Yes, I'm very much committed, and I want to expand it, because what I want to do is, for those that's on that board, we'll have at least two from each of those reses in the inner city neighborhoods that will be on that committee, and not the way it is now. And that's why that I want to make sure we expand that, because I think they're doing a great job, because that's what we're going to have to invest in our community more so. In our inner city, and we're going to have to put hope back in those areas there for the young people. And we're going to have to put programs in that area there that those young people will come out of the crime area, and this will give them hope and something to do in their area. And, you know, we can spend our money more wisely in local inner city res areas than we can putting it out there for the wealthy.
Thank you, Joey.
Carter Hendricks?
That's a great question. Yes, I absolutely support the funding for the Inner City Residential Enterprise Zone. In fact, when that program was created about 9 years ago, the Chamber of Commerce, and I served in the government affairs capacity at that time for the Chamber of Commerce, advocated for that very funding to the City Council and included as part of our legislative agenda every year after that, including this year's local legislative agenda item. I see a former chair of our government affairs committee from the chamber shaking his head in agreement. We've been committed to the inner city since I've been back home in 2004 and will remain committed whether I serve as your mayor or not, for that matter. You see, all I ask you to do is follow our actions, not just our words. Ask around to see who's been volunteering, who's been the president of the Boys and Girls Club, who served at the Salvation Army in the last 10 years, who's rolled up their sleeves and helped with get out the vote drives and voter registration efforts in the past 10 years, not during campaign seasons, but when we were trying to help get more people involved. Because you see, when we talk about revitalizing the inner city, we ought to put our feet inside the inner city and understand what we're talking about. So over the past few weeks, I've spent a lot of time door knocking. And I've seen the conditions, and there's a lot of good people doing a lot of great things in our inner city neighborhoods, but they need our help. So that $500,000 that's allocated, I absolutely have a commitment to it. But I also have a commitment to make sure that every year we look at our programs and we look at the way we implement those dollars and that we're having the best success that we can. And I think we need to engage more neighborhoods and more leaders in those neighborhood associations. There are currently six, if I'm not mistaken, and we need to expand out, and we need to make sure that we double down on our commitment to help our inner city grow, because as it goes, so goes Hopkinsville.
Thank you, Carter. Walter?
Yes, I do support the Inner City Res program. However, I think the Inner City Res program has increased the possibilities. I think currently, this program primarily centers on improvement. But I think we have to consider rebuilding the lives of some of these people in these neighborhoods. And it takes more than just the physical, say, outlay in terms of repairing a home. We have people that are, say, truly suffering in a lot of these neighborhoods. And I think we've sort of overlooked some of these areas. We need businesses in some of these blighted neighborhoods. And we need more parks. And generally speaking, we need, say, more opportunity for the people, because we cannot continue to have a lot of, say, dislocated people, because one dislocated person will cost the system as much as $300,000 in a lifetime. So we need to make an effort to bring these people, say, back into the mainstream. And as I said, we need to do something other than, say, build houses. I think we need to concentrate on rebuilding lives.
Carter, you had a rebuttal?
I would like to add, actually, just with what something Walter said. When we talk about getting businesses into the inner city, I think it's very important that we understand how businesses operate and how they succeed. And so if we're going to help business succeed in the inner city, we have to improve overall economic conditions in and around that inner city so that the consumer has the ability to afford whatever that business provides in service or product. I spent almost 10 years at our Chamber of Commerce working to support businesses, and I have firsthand experience on what it takes to help a small business succeed, whether that's minority-owned or otherwise. And I look forward, hopefully, to having the opportunity to let that experience speak to others and help them develop those businesses in the inner city.
Okay. Moving on to the next question.
That's your question.
All right. The next question will begin with Carter as we move down the line. What is your strategy for creating jobs in Hopkinsville?
About 2 months ago, I released on my website the Carter KM Point Plan to grow. And that sounds about as politically cheesy as it can sound, but that's what I'm told we're supposed to do in campaigns, is have little taglines that sound good. So it's the Carter KM 5-point plan, and it focuses on bringing an entrepreneurial spirit to City Hall. What does that mean? It means that we come to City Hall with creative ideas, that we're innovative, that we're always looking for new opportunities to develop revenue that's non-tax oriented, if at all possible, and that we never let up on the notion that we can always get better. I've got the experience running our Chamber of Commerce to the 2013 National Chamber of the Year finalist, and it was because of that entrepreneurial spirit that we got that far in that process. I would like to have won, but being in the top three out of hundreds of chambers wasn't too bad. We have to stimulate housing and retail development, and we can do that through incentives and through ensuring that we develop the type of community that others want to live in. That means we have to invest in quality of life infrastructure like parks and recreation and rails to trails. Three, we create jobs through targeting industries and providing wonderful incentives for those industries and making sure that we have a low tax rate, that we have a reasonable regulatory environment, that we have an outstanding workforce, put the leadership positions that can make best sales possible to that potential industry or that potential business. And finally, I favor taking those same types of incentives that we use for industry recruitment and expanding that to small business development and small business expansion. After all, small businesses represent 80% of our economy, and we must support them to create jobs.
Walter Shamble, your strategy for creating jobs?
I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. Industrial Park is an economic oasis. And I think Industrial Park must be used to bring this community, say, out of poverty. I think we have too many people in this community that are living in poverty. I think that's the problem with the school system. In many other areas, people are living in poverty, so the kids are not progressing in school because of the conditions that they live in. Industrial Park is an economic oasis, but only one out of four people that live in Hopkinsville, Christian County, work at Industrial Park. So consequently, the money is leaving Hopkinsville. So my goal would be to provide, say, incentives for the business in Industrial Park to hire locally. If two out of four people worked in Industrial Park living in Hopkinsville, that would put at least another $500,000 into the local economy every week. And we've got another problem, these temp services. We've temped out Western State. We've temped out Genesis Stewart. We've temped out the library. Who own all these temp services? Someone is draining this community of its economic integrity. Temp services pay less money with no benefits, and you're not going to draw much in Social Security. So we're talking about, say, the future of the community. I think we must utilize the resource that we have at our disposal, Industrial Park and hire locally. Thank you.
Carter Hendricks has a rebuttal. No, okay. Mr. Pendleton, your strategy for creating jobs in Hopkinsville.
Well, I think I have a track record on creating jobs in Hopkinsville. We brought the ethanol plant here. I almost got run out of town when we first started talking about ethanol, but you can see that's been a blessing to our farmers. It's been a blessing to this area here. And also when we've got Payne Enterprises, Seymour Milling, Continental Mills, that I work diligently on to get them funding and things for them to come here and to stay here and to keep expanding. And that's what I plan on doing. I'm working as we speak on an industry that's going to come here and wants to come to this area. And we're meeting next week with the EDC to make sure that we get them here in Hopkinsville. Because of our proximity to I-24, I-65, and the rail system and everything that we have here. So we're going to continue to fight to bring industry into Hopkinsville, as I've always, if you have seen in my past, and my record will speak for itself about bringing industry here. I was one of the first that hit in parks there, get the infrastructure in when the late Philip Mullins was living, and to get that started out there, and to get a four-lane highway in front of that industrial park to where we can get people in and out.
Is there a rebuttal?
Very quickly here, if you don't mind, Chad. Okay. A couple clarifications. Walter, I understand the frustration that you have regarding the number of people who live in our industrial or work in our industrial park that don't live here. But I think it's 35% don't live in Christian County, 65% do. At least that's the number that the Chamber of Commerce. I at least want that to be represented. That's still too many. But the burden isn't on the employer or in the employee. They should choose to live where they want to live. We have that. That's why we had a totality plan, not just how to create jobs, but how to do all aspects and create a community that others desire to be in.
That's time. Okay, we're going to take a brief break. We'll be back in just 2 minutes at the Hopkinsville mayoral debate here on the Murray State Hopkinsville campus in the city of Hopkinsville. I'm Chad Lampe with co-moderator Carolyn Self. We have the candidates with us, Joey Pendleton, Carter Hendricks, and Walter Shamble. We have a room full of people, about 120 spectators, and we thank all of you for being here. Carolyn, you have the next question.
Thank you, and we will start with Walter Shamble answering this question. Walter, we in Hopkinsville are one of the few states in Kentucky that still has partisan races. Do you support continuing partisan races, or would you like to see us be nonpartisan? For I think of what our current mayor said one time. He said the city people don't care which party you're in as long as the streets are paved.
I support partisan races because I think people have a right to to feel the way they feel, say, politically, and even say, in terms of expression, say, that feeling. And there is a broad, I think, spectrum of differences in opinion in terms of what, say, should be going on. So if you have just, say, the nonpartisan, I think you eliminate, I think, a lot of possibilities by having the nonpartisan race. But I think we should continue to say have the partisan involvement.
Okay, thank you, Walter. Joey Pendleton.
Well, I'm no doubt about it. I'm on record that I am not for having nonpartisan. Because if you go back and look at the history of Hopkinsville, back in the 40s, that's what they had. And they got so corrupt that's why they went to partisan races. And what you'll find out will happen, you could have everybody on one street being on city council and representing you, and the other side of the town won't have any representation whatsoever. So, no, I will never, and I'll stand on this. That's one thing I can promise you. I'm not promising any jobs or anything, but I can promise you that, no, I will never be for nonpartisan races in Hopkinsville.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Hendrick.
We were asked this question in the primary, and my position hasn't changed. I'm absolutely in favor of nonpartisan local elections for two very specific reasons. First and foremost, I think it's an issue of voter engagement. For instance, this year, Brad Boyd had a challenge against Todd DeYoung. There is no candidate in the two happen to be this year Democrats. Nearly 40% of Christian County did not have a chance to vote in the jailer's race because of happenstance that there wasn't a Republican in the race. More importantly, the issues that we face as local elected officials, the issues that both Walter and Joey will face if you elect them mayor, that I certainly will face, have nothing to do with the partisan platform. Public practical to problems, not divisive, personal, petty, partisan politics. And I think this community's tired of it, and that's what I hear at the doorsteps as I'm out knocking on doors every single day talking to voters at their front porches and in their living rooms. They tell me without hesitation, and this is not even close, this is a majority of voters, they're tired of divisive partisan politics. They want local leaders to be the type of leaders that demonstrate to Frankfort and Washington how we get things done. And if you elect me mayor, that's exactly what I plan on doing in a nonpartisan way to make sure I work with every city councilor, no matter what their party is.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. You want to say something further, Senator?
Yes, we have a nonpartisan race every year in November that people can choose who they want to, regardless of party. It don't make any difference what party you're in. We have a nonpartisan race in November, and that's why that I say that we already have that established. And I'm tired of the bickering and all, but I don't see that happening here in Hopkinsville. I see it in Washington, and we're not going to change yet. So let's move on and talk about what's best for the city of Hopkinsville.
You have. We'll give you one chance to rebut Carter, then we'll move on.
I'm absolutely in favor of nonpartisan elections because I believe 100% it's in the best interest of Hopkinsville, or I wouldn't be in favor of it. But let's be clear, you don't have a nonpartisan election this year. We had to choose to register our election under a party platform or be independent, but Walter's not independent. He's actually registered a particular way, if I'm not mistaken. So even our version of nonpartisan isn't nonpartisan. It's extremely partisan. Why are we against peeling back labels that divide us? Why would you not want to vote for the person that you think has the best skill and the best interest and the best experience? That's all I can ask you to do.
Thank you, Carter.
It's clear that all the positions have been heard on that particular issue. Let's move on to another question, and we'll begin with you, Senator Pendleton. You will employ more than 200 people if you are mayor. Describe your approach to management.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, as I've said, I've not promised any jobs and will not promise any jobs. And I just got to get in there and find out who's doing what, who's carrying the load, and who's not packing the load, and see what we do. I will be a hands-on mayor. Now, I'm not going to be a dictator, but I'm going to give those people in charge the reins, and they can come, and we'll sit down just like with our policemen, our firemen, and those people in that vicinity, because I want to give our policemen and firemen the tools and the money to for their public safety and for our public safety. And I've got a plan that we'll talk about a little later on that we're going to do that I think will certainly help, has helped in other areas. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to be a good administrator, but you've got to work with people. And that I will people around. I know the law to do the right thing, and that's what I'm looking forward to working with those, and then we'll see. Some needs to go, or some needs to stay, or if we need to bring new ones in. But right today, I'm not going to tell you that we would change anybody down there today, because I don't want any public employee, because they are our backbone and the best people that we can get that's going to carry the load for us to make us look good. And that's what we want to continue to do.
Carter Hendricks, describe your approach to management.
That's a great question, and I have to tell you that as I think about the responsibility that comes with being the next mayor of Hopkinsville, I've given a lot of thought to management experience and what types of skills you have to be able to do that job effectively. It is definitely hiring people and potentially firing people, and certainly coaching and mentoring and leading over 250 employees is a very big task. And if I'm not mistaken, I'll let these candidates speak for themselves, but I believe I'm the only candidate sitting before you that actually has executive experience, that's led teams of staff more than 10 or 15, that's supervised budgets in the millions of dollars, supervised it, not had any other, supervised it, been responsible for it. So how do I manage? I plan on working with the people that we have to develop trust. You develop that trust by getting to know each one of our employees, you know their children, grandchildren, and then I've done as a manager. Coach them to the best of your ability by offering them praise when deserved, by certainly giving them constructive feedback when you need to give constructive feedback in a private, personal, respectful way so they understand how much you care about their performance, because you realize as a manager their performance is your performance. And you must own the outcome if you're the manager. I believe that I'll manage by continuing to work with people of all backgrounds to make sure that we have people understanding what our vision is, that we have meetings to make sure that we're focusing on the priorities that the people of Hopkinsville value and find important. But most of all, we'll bring a sense of teamwork. A sense that this isn't about any one of us in the city of Hopkinsville. This is about all of us to accomplish this vision to grow Hopkinsville, and I think I can get that done.
We have a rebuttal from Senator Pendleton.
Yes, I take a little offense that he's the only one that's got management ability that's ever worked. I work for a Fortune 500 company, W.R. Grayson Company, as a regional manager all over the Southwest, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas. I oversaw a lot of people. I've served in the Kentucky State Senate, and we had several employees that I had there, especially when I was Senate pro tem of the Senate, that I had to oversee and manage. So I think I have more management skills.
Time. We'll move on first. Let Mr. Shamble answer before we hear another rebuttal.
In regards to hiring, say, by the city, I think you have a lot, say, to consider. And one of the things you have to consider, this is, say, government money, and this money has certain stipulations in terms of what has to happen here. I did a workforce analysis for the city of Hopkinsville. I asked for the workforce, and I found out that the fire department, we had very few, say, minorities, and almost, say, 60-some persons, say, working there, had maybe, say, four or five minorities in their capacity, and that is in clear violation of Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And I think as long as we have these disparities based on whatever, race or whatever, we would spend another 100 years being unequal. So whomever is in the position of authority must consider, say, doing what is morally right. You know, sometimes we know what is right, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult to say doing it. But whomever is in that position must take the high road and do what's right. And in terms of who has experience being a supervisor, I've worked for state government in a couple of capacities. I was trained as a supervisor, as a director of the Christian County Day Treatment Center, and as manager of the community-based state treatment home. So I have functioned in that capacity of being in charge, say, more than one time, and I have a lot of, say, life experience. But I do think, in terms of, say, considering the hiring, it has to be done equally. Thank you.
Do we have a rebuttal?
Very quickly, just point of clarification. I didn't question ability. I questioned experience, and I asked you guys to clarify for yourself. I'm glad you did that. But I'm going to stick to the point that if you look at the previous 10 years coming to today and ask about management experience, all I'm asking you to do as voters is look at our resume and our background. Don't worry about what we say. Find out the information about where we worked, what we've done, who we've hired, what we've been responsible for, and the effectiveness of that. And look at the last 10 years. I mean, what we've done 20 years ago is some importance, but you need to know that your mayor is ready right now, today, with the energy, enthusiasm, and experience to lead.
Thank you. Now we are going to start with Carter Hendricks on the next question. Carter, our children have increased slightly in their scores in education in Christian County, but we still continue to be below the state and national averages. So what could you as a mayor do to help increase student achievement?
For many, many years, I've been involved in education at all levels as a volunteer, and many of you may not know this, as a teacher. In fact, when I graduated college in 1995, my first profession was at Bowling Green Warren County Community Education, where I ran after-school and summer-school programs for at-risk young people. When I met my wife, I moved to Minnesota, where I taught in an alternative high school for, once again, at-risk young people. Then I took a job at our Department of Education for a few years in Minnesota, where I supervised federal grants to help at-risk young people. So quite frankly, I know that I have some experience in that area as well, and I don't know that many in the public understand that, because for the last 10 years I've been at the chamber talking about business issues and community development issues. So what do we do to support young people? We hold our teachers, we hold our principals, we hold our administrators accountable to a bold vision. And then we work with them, I see Ms. Gimmel sitting in the audience, to accomplish that bold vision. We roll up our sleeves as the man, as a candidate, as a volunteer, to work side by side to help support those teachers as they work with young people and try to instill an education that we know is critical to the work tomorrow. We can't talk about economic development if we won't talk about education. And as a mayor, we have to have an interest in the educational system, and we have to not only have an interest, we have to roll up our sleeves and get involved. And I've done that. I've volunteered in every elementary school in this community in the last 10 years, every single one of them. I know most of the principals today by first name because I've put my words into action, and I'll continue to do that if you give me a chance as your next mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. Mr. Shamble, what would you do to increase student achievement?
Well, I think education is everybody's business, and our children deserve better than they're getting. Now, we are, say, below a lot of, say, state and national, say, standards in terms of what our kids are doing in the local school system. However, we gave Ms. Gimmel a very flattering evaluation. So do we leave any room for her to improve her performance? I think we have other factors that we need to look into when we're thinking about improving, say, the educational, say, outlook. I think if kids are living in, say, very poor situations when they come to school in the morning time, they're not prepared to learn. If you're hungry or if you've been cold at nighttime. So in other words, I think poverty being the compelling issue in this community, I think we need to make an all-out effort to lift our community out of poverty, because I think poverty is a moral issue, you know. We get up and go to church on Sunday morning and say we love God. You know, how can we love God who we've never seen and let our brothers languish in poverty? These are issues, I think, that we need to address. I think education is such an important issue because you only get, say, one chance. And so I think we need to make every effort as leaders to improve our overall, say, standing.
Thank you, Mr. Shambo. Senator Pendleton, what can you do to help increase student achievement?
Well, I'm going to tell you, education's always been a big part of my platform and everything that I've done in the Kentucky State Senate and what I've done here in Hopkinsville, bringing the Community College Tech Center and bringing this beautiful campus here at Murray State University and working at Murray State University in the Ag Department down there for a while. And I'm going to tell you, it's our young people that's going to take over, and it's our young people we've got to get qualified to be able to step in those positions. And in doing that, you know, I heard Ms. Gimble speak yesterday at Kiwanis Club, did a great job telling about it. We've made progress, but we still got a long ways to go, and we always got to keep moving forward to make sure that we've got the children out there that's qualified into the workforce now. Talking about poverty, every child in Christian County qualifies to free breakfast and free lunch because of the poverty level that it is in Christian County. So it's not saying, yes, they may come to school hungry, but they're going to get two good meals a day. Now, we've got to get the parents involved if you want to talk about education. That's where it's going to always get back to, is to get the parents involved and to make sure that they're on target to get those kids to do their homework.
Is there a rebuttal?
I want to continue off something Walter said in terms of poverty. That is absolutely the most critical issue facing our community from an overall perspective. Poverty holds back our educational levels. It holds back our opportunities for jobs and to create jobs. But let's be clear. We don't get to know about poverty and deal with it if we're not willing to roll up our sleeves and walk in the streets and meet people where they are in their homes, in their houses. When I was an AmeriCorps member right here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in 1995, I worked out of Highland Elementary School where I was appointed with third graders who weren't reading at third grade level, and we did site visits. I'd encourage every one of you to walk with me one day and see what some of these kids live with.
That's time. It's also time for another quick break. We'll take a 3-minute break and with more questions here at the Hopkinsville mayoral debate at the Murray State Hopkinsville campus. Welcome back to this Hopkinsville mayoral debate with our candidates Joey Pendleton, Carter Hendricks, and Walter Shamble. We're at the Murray State Hopkinsville campus with a crowd of about 120 here. Thank you all for being with us. It's time to move on to our next question. This will begin with, where are we?
Walter? We're down to Walter.
Walter, you'll be the first to answer this question. Thank you, Carolyn. The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky's research indicates that Christian County and Hopkinsville have a higher rate of early deaths and diabetes than the national average. What is your role as mayor in fostering a healthy population?
I think, say, the rails and trails and any type of, I think, exercise. I'm a diabetic, and I more or less take control of my diabetes, say, through exercise and diet. But I think the number of persons that are afflicted with this, say, monumental disease, I think for the city to provide more opportunities, say, for exercise, the rails to trails, when we talked about, say, creating other, say, entities, say, where people can get out and actually exercise. But I do think that diabetes is such a concern that we need, say, to educate the people in terms of different, say, possibilities in terms of extending, say, their lives, because diabetes is a very, say, critical illness which has a lot of other, say, complications. And I think, say, education and knowledge about, say, what to do if you have, say, this ailment, I think is critical.
Okay, the same question goes to Senator Pendleton. Again, what is the role of the mayor in fostering a healthy population?
Well, you know, where does the mayor start and where does he end? And the thing, you know, to me, this is more of an education issue in the school system and with the health department as to what about a healthy diet. I'm not exactly sure what the role of the mayor would be other than encouraging the health department and encouraging our school system that they have healthy food and we have a place for people to exercise and people to go, and I think we do in this city. But that gets back into the home again. Back in what are eating at home. And, you know, I see many now that potato chips and a iPad sitting on the couch. If they don't get out in the yard and play like we used to, then they're probably not going to be as healthy as they need to be. But that's what we've got to do to encourage in our schools and our health department as the fact of what a good diet is and what they need to be doing. And that's why those on food stamps need to be only able to buy good, healthy food.
Carter Hendricks, the same question, the mayor's role in fostering a healthy population.
Absolutely. It's a great question. In my five-point plan that I referenced earlier, point number four talks about ensuring healthier and happier Hopkinsville, and I'd ask you to go to the website, hendricksforhoptown.com, and you can view some of the thoughts and ideas from that plan, and I'll share some of them now. Many of you that know me know I love to run. I love to exercise, and I always have, but that's not just because I like to do it. I understand the value of it. My dad, who's now deceased, passed away from heart problems at age 64, about 21 years ago. So for me, it's very personal to make sure that we take personal health, and that's why you might see me running on the shoulders of streets that shouldn't be run on, or on the shoulder of the bypass that is okay to run on, or out on Gary Lane, or wherever I might find myself. So hopefully if you do, you wave at me. I'll certainly try to wave at you. There are some things I think we can do very specifically to help have a healthier, happier Hopkinsville. One is I think we need to launch a citywide Happy Hoptown initiative where we focus on wellness initiatives, where we focus on eating right, and we can do that from the mayor's office, and so we should. We should also make sure that we have a master sidewalk and trail plan that connects neighborhoods to our rental trail system and access to affordable health care opportunities and wellness opportunities like the Railroad Trail. We need to have a complete street concept where every street is designed with sidewalks or bike lanes in mind, so we make it easier for people to be healthy, and we also help to challenge one of our public transportation issues. We can expand our farmers market. Let's take it mobile. Let's use places along the Railroad Trail to be mobile farmers markets. Why not? It's being wildly popular. Why can't we do that? And we can expand our park system, which I'll certainly be supportive of. By the way, I raised $400,000 to help support the Railroad Trail.
That's time. And we're going to ask a quick follow-up to all of you individually, 30 seconds regarding the Railroad Trail, which came up most of the answers. It's a question we received at the door. I also received it through email prior to the debate. We'll start with Mr. Shamble and work our way around. In 30 seconds, would you support an expansion of the rail to trail, and how would you find a way to do it?
I would support an expansion because I think it does not cover, say, the entire city, and I think that to get out and walk, I think it's beneficial, say, for everybody. And perhaps, through government funding, that's how we're funding everything else, because locally governments are not taking in enough money, say, to create, say, these type of amenities. So consequently, what governments, local governments are doing is going to the federal government and receiving assistance, and I think the program does need to be expanded.
Senator Pendleton, the same question, support an expansion, if you do or don't, and how you would do it.
Well, I think first thing you got to do is see how much it's going to cost to expand it. The next thing you got to do is see how much use that we're already getting on it. And if we can see that we're beneficial and we're getting a lot of use on it, then it may be beneficial to expand it. Before I expand anything, I want to know where the money's coming from, and I want to know how we're going to pay for it, and then I want to make sure it's going to be used.
Carter Hendricks, the same question.
Absolutely. I would favor expanding the Railroad Trail project. I was an advocate for the first phase, and I'll continue to be an advocate from this phase forward. And if it costs me votes in this election, then so be it. But you deserve to know exactly where I stand on it. The first phase would cost about $1.2 million. I helped to privately raise about $400,000 to help keep the cost of the taxpayer down. That was a commitment we made because we thought it was that important. In terms of usage, how many of you, by show of hands, either are using it or plan to use it sometime soon? Just show of hands, everybody. I think that speaks for itself. We need to move forward with this project.
Thank you, Carter. Now we're going to start another question, and we're going to start with Senator Pendleton. All of you have addressed the fact that there's some poverty in our city, and we would like to have a specific plan for how you would address the poverty and those who are unemployed or the families that are hopeless in this community. Senator Pendleton, can you start for us?
Yes, and that's a great question. First off, how you're going to have to address the poverty is you're going to have to address the education system to make sure that we got qualified workers. We got to have workers. There's jobs available in Hopkinsville today, high-paying jobs, but they can't pass the test and can't pass the test. And that got to address that issue right there, number one. And number two, when we recruit industry in here, we got to recruit industry in here that's going to have high-paying jobs. We don't need temp service people. We don't need low-paying wages, minimum wage, and all that. People can't live on minimum wage today. I don't know who you are. If you got anything, you're going to have more than minimum wage to make it. And that's what we have to do, is to get, and people got money, they going to spend money. I look at the farmers. By golly, the farmers are the best conduit of money that ever was, because if they have a good crop year, they going to spend it buying a new truck, a new combine or something. Same thing with everybody out there in Industrial Park. They make good money, they going to spend money here in Hiawatha. That will get retail in here, and that'll get business in here.
Okay, thank you. Carter Hendricks, will you please talk to us specifically about how you would address our city's poverty?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, you're not electing someone to be a savior of Hopkinsville, and some of the issues we have are much bigger than the mayor can accomplish certainly alone. And so if we're going to tackle the issue of poverty, we're going to do so as a total community effort, and that includes every single one of you. Don't cast your vote in this direction, which thinks that you abdicate your responsibility to be a part of the solution. We need all of you to tackle this problem, because the fact is we do have too many people living in poverty. And the only way you can lift people out of poverty, or the only way they can lift themselves out of poverty, is by having good education and plenty of opportunity. And so whoever the next mayor is has to focus on working with our schools and our institutions of higher education to ensure that we have a qualified workforce that can take the good-paying jobs like U.S. Tobacco just announced at roughly $65,000 a year right here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in their expansion. But we also have to make people aware of opportunity and help build their trust that they have a legitimate shot at those opportunities. You see, when I've been door-knocking on the very streets that we're talking about, many people don't have hope anymore. They don't think they're going to get a fair chance. Some of them are convicted felons, and they're all but certain they won't get a fair chance. And you know, they deserve our trust and respect, and they deserve our prayers just the same, and they certainly deserve each one of us as aspiring elected leaders to listen to what they have to say and to hopefully allow that to influence the way that we make decisions and create opportunities right here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. But we can't deal with poverty if we're not willing to walk the streets and learn what people are actually living with, and I've been doing that, and I remain committed to doing that beyond this election.
Thank you, Mr. Hendricks. Mr. Shamble, you're...
I think first of all, we have to deal with the hypocrisy of the whole situation. I think we give kids a warm coat at Christmas time and starve their parents to death with a cycle of unemployment for the rest of the year. So, you know, who are we as a group of people? You know, we say a Christian community, we have 165 or so, say, churches in this community, but are we morally fit? Now, I think poverty is a moral issue. It is, and I think even, say, working as a temp, I think it is wrong for a person to have to pay an employee $5 an hour just to have a job over a long period of time. I think Industrial Park has the capacity to lift this entire neighborhood. And we have barriers to go into Industrial Park, such as the TAVE test, a very difficult, comprehensive test that has nothing to do with the job itself. And I think we need to create entry-level programs, allow these people to go to work with an understanding that after 30 days, you may be, say, full-time employed. And that also creates another situation. Currently, the hospital is perhaps, say, failing because of a lack of, say, funds. If you have insurance, you can go to the hospital. So the whole situation is, I think, versus opportunity. And I think we must open the doors of opportunity.
Okay, we have time for one brief rebuttal.
Very quickly here, something that Walter said triggered this thought process. When I ask you to be involved in helping to fight poverty, here's simply what I mean by that from a Christian perspective. We claim that it's hard to see God. It's really not that hard to see God. When you reach out in Christ-like love and you serve someone who's in need, you see God in action. And that's what we have to be willing to do as a community. It can't be about just who your mayor is. You have to be a part of this solution. And if it costs me a vote for saying that, then it's a vote that I'm willing to give up to speak what I think is absolutely necessary to help us fight poverty in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Okay, that's all the time that we have for questions for this Hopkinsville Mayoral Forum. Thank you again to our live audience here, and thanks to Murray State's Hopkinsville Regional Campus for this forum, including our candidates, Walter Shamble, the Independent, Carter Hendrick, and Pendleton Democrat. Thank you much to Hopkinsville Campus Director Sloan Kanzler and her entire staff. Also, thanks to for support, along with Tab Brockman for some technical assistance. Also, thank you so much to Carolyn Self, our co-moderator for the League of Women Voters. The audio of this entire debate will be available at WKMS.org just a little bit later today if you've missed any part of this. We also will resume our political coverage of races in our region in October with several forums scheduled each Friday leading up to the November election. Each of us have a responsibility to vote, and WKMS is proud to introduce you to these candidates who seek responsibility to serve. I'm Chad Lampe. Thanks so much for listening and being with us.